Thank you, Frank. Right then, keeping things... Indeed, you see, I mean, he's already in a good mood, keeping things light as the saying goes. We whiz seamlessly up to Madrid, and that sober fellow, otherwise known as Simon Hunter. Morning to you, Simon.
not so sober these days, I must say. Hello, Giles.
Now, before we throw nostalgians at your character, Simon, let's just get a couple things. You went to a cocktail party, didn't you?
I did, yes. Nature is healing in Madrid. The fiesta is back with a vengeance, and all power to it.
Right, it's a hotel rebranding with your lovely wife, and why not?
Yes.
Indeed. So
there. Yes, it's nice. Things are really getting better. I mean, we're going to talk about COVID, but I mean, it really does. It's the Roaring Twenties, isn't it? This is what's going to happen as the pandemic fades. We're going to enter this phase of the Roaring Twenties, and long may it continue.
I've already got my airship tickets back booked in New York, and I'm expecting the delivery of a Hispano Suzia or whatever, you know, by the end of the week. So
yes. A colleague of mine has just taken a trip to New York, and I've been dreaming about that. I think that's got to go on the list of things to do once we really do start to get back to normal.
Yeah, I've promised myself a trip to Venice. Actually, that's going to be mine. Yeah, because I, you know, the first time I went was back in the day, and I did the cocktail thing. I think I sat in an Irish bar for 3 days, which is not really the thing you want to do in Venice. But like I said, it was back in the day. The colleague that wouldn't be Melissa Kitson. I mean, you can't tempt her out of her apartment with a high pressure hose at the moment.
No, she's still safely ensconced in her home. Don't you worry about that.
Right then, let's look at the news that's been making El País then recently.
Yeah, exactly. Well, COVID. So let's talk about COVID. Now, you might sort of be worried if you're just looking at the headlines because the incidence is on the rise again. We had a nice period where the number of cases per 100,000 inhabitants over 14 days, that data point that we keep coming back to, it was under 50, and that lasted for a couple of weeks. But for the last couple of weeks, the incidence has been rising, and it's been rising quite rapidly. We're now at 139 cases per 100,000 inhabitants over 14 days. So that might sound like bad news, but once you actually start to get into the data and look at what's happening, the situation is actually pretty positive. Now, let's talk first about what's happening with the vaccinated and the non-vaccinated. Now, this is data, this is information that journalists have been asking the Spanish government for a long time, and they just released it yesterday, and it's really, really interesting, and it pretty much tells you, I'm sure you can guess what I'm going to say, those who are vaccinated are faring a lot better in terms of COVID than the non-vaccinated. Now, we've got 80% of the population in Spain is fully vaccinated. Now, the incidence, it turns out, according to this new data, the incidence is triple among the non-vaccinated compared to the vaccinated. So that just goes to show how well the vaccines are working. The weekly infection rate is 23 cases per 100,000 people among the vaccinated and 65 cases among the unvaccinated. Now, as we've seen with COVID-19 right from the start, age is a key factor in terms of, you know, how badly you will suffer if you catch COVID. The non-vaccinated aged between 60 and 80 have 25 times a greater risk of death from COVID-19, according to these new figures. And the reduction of risk of hospitalization or death is over 90% in most age groups for the vaccinated. And just one last stat to give you on this from these new figures. Between September the 20th and November the 14th, the risk of infection in the unvaccinated aged between 60 and 80 was nearly 8 times greater. So this is one of the key points that we don't have much data for at the moment, i.e. just how much the vaccines stop the virus from circulating. Because a lot of people, a lot of anti-vaxxers are always banging on about that. Oh, you know, if the vaccine doesn't actually stop you catching COVID, then what's the point of getting the vaccine? But what we're seeing now, we're starting to get data for, is that the vaccine is actually reducing the circulation of the virus. So that's very, very positive. So what's happening in Spain at the moment. So, okay, so we've got those 139 cases per 100,000 inhabitants over 14 days. But because of the high vaccination coverage in Spain, we're not seeing this sort of, you know, worrying situation that we're seeing in other European countries. Compare the 139 cases in Spain to 2,000 in Austria at the moment and over 1,000 in Belgium. Hospitalizations are on the rise in Spain, but you put it into context, there's just 3,000 COVID-19 patients in hospital at the moment in Spain, and just 547 of those are in intensive care. Right. And that's 2% of conventional beds and less than 6% of ICU beds. If you compare that with the end of January, when we were in a wave of the virus before everyone was vaccinated, the figure was 24% of conventional beds were occupied by COVID patients and 42% of ICU beds in the country. So that's very positive. And we've just also heard yesterday that the Public Health Commission has given the green light for a third dose for the over 60s and healthcare workers and care home staff. And that's in addition to the, I think it's over 1 million people have already had a third dose in other groups, vulnerable groups. And also yesterday, the new traffic light system was approved. So this is basically the government's, you know, changed the statistics now, changed the levels to consider for a low risk situation. So the low risk situation used to be under 50 cases per 100,000 inhabitants. And now it is under 100. And that's to reflect the fact that, you know, the virus is going to circulate. But as we're seeing at the moment, it's not necessarily causing lots of hospitalizations or deaths. And also, interestingly, it's worth pointing out that this traffic light system, these are just indicators. There's no concrete measures attached from the central government. So it's still up to the regions to decide what they want to do. The regions are in charge of their restrictions. They're in charge of their vaccination process. Yeah, basically, they're the ones that are keeping the eye on each situation in their territories.
Interestingly enough as well, the use of COVID passports. I see the Basque Country. Now, the Basque Country is an interesting one because, you know, when we were in the depths of, you know, the waves hitting, you know, there were a lot of cases breaking out. And it's not people, it wasn't people nightclubbing. It was the famous sort of Basque restaurant clubs, you know, those gastronomia clubs that they were spreading because Basque men needed to meet and have food and put the will to rights.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. There's an article to be written about those clubs. Those clubs are fantastic. I did an article in San Sebastian one time and found out about those clubs. And yeah, what a fantastic place to go and visit and to eat, basically, as many pintos as you can get your hands on. But yes, as you mentioned, yeah, vaccine passports. This is one of these. This is quite a hot issue at the moment. There's various regions that are suggesting that they should be introduced. But as we've seen in the past, without the coverage of the state of alarm put in place by the central government, it's actually proving quite difficult for some of these measures to be approved by the courts. That's what the regions have to do. They have to get these measures that restrict fundamental rights approved by the courts. So there's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing in recent weeks between regions and the courts as they try and get these measures put into place. I think, if I remember off the top of my head, I think they're going to go into action in Catalonia. I think in Catalonia you're going to have to show your COVID passport to go into bars and restaurants because, you know, in some it's a very unequal situation at the moment, and some of the regions are worse off than others, and some are doing better. So yeah, we'll be keeping an eye on that this week to see where you have to break out your passport before you get into tour.
Talking about keeping people indoors, over in La Palma, people are being kept indoors, but for a very different reason.
Yes, I mean, spare a thought for these poor people on the Canary Island of La Palma. The new volcano there, which still hasn't been named, which is very annoying, I would say. Just come up with a name for it so we can give it a name in our stories. It's been erupting now since September the 19th, and it's now the longest eruption in Spain in the last 400 years. The ash that the volcano is spewing out is such that the airport has been closed for 5 days now. It's likely to remain closed until this weekend. And of course, that is causing problems with the visitors to the island, because the island at the moment, as you can imagine, is attracting a lot of tourists. And of course, what happens is, you know, the weekend, the island fills up with tourists, and then they close the airport this weekend, and the tourists just, you know, have very limited ways to get off the island. Basically, all the ferry tickets sell out, so they're having all sorts of issues, not just the residents, but the visitors as well. On Monday, a new delta was created in the sea. This very fast-moving lava suddenly arrived a lot quicker than people expected, and it started to create a new area of land in the sea, in addition to the one that's already exists. And I think it began to, I think it was at the end of September that one began to be created. In fact, just to give you an idea, that the new delta grew by 13 hectares in just a few hours on Blimey. Tuesday. It's pretty extraordinary. But so the lava meeting the sea is what prompted them to confine around 3,000 people to their homes on Monday. Basically, there's a number of dangers that are associated with the lava arriving in the ocean, which range from this, you know, the land and the cliffs on the coast can suddenly collapse with the arrival of all of this lava. There can be an explosion caused by that collapse. There can be waves of boiling water coming from the area. And of course, the main problem is the toxic steam. So when the lava meets the water, this steam is let off. It's mostly chlorine, but also hydrochloric acid and small particles of volcanic crystals. I mean, the pictures of the ash, it must just be so depressing for people who are on the island, because you just clean up the ash and then it just falls again. The pictures are extraordinary. Also, the people on the island are still being hit by earth tremors. I mean, this really doesn't, you know, seem to be letting up. There was about 40 tremors, I think, on Monday night, and the largest one was 4.8 on the Richter scale. And now at more than 1,000 hectares on the actual island itself have been covered up by the lava, and it's just destroyed nearly 1,500 properties, of which 1,200 were residential homes. So no surprise to hear that the alarm is going out about the mental health of the people on the island. There's all sorts of people in very difficult situations. Those who have lost their homes mostly are opting to stay with other people, either with friends or family, and they're not taking up the offer of accommodation that's being offered by the authorities. But of course, that has its problems, because there's, you know, people living in very overcrowded situations, and it's people who are on the lowest incomes that are suffering the most. So, yeah, there's lots of concerns about the mental health of the people on the island, and there's also concern that although the situation is bad at the moment, in terms of mental health, the worst might still be to come. So I really do feel so sorry for the residents of the island. And let's hope that this eruption comes to an end soon, because, it's been going on an awfully long time already.
Well, I just had a brainwave about what we can call this volcano whilst talking to you, Simon, which is, I think we should call it Monte Resaca del Diablo. Which I think, because hydrochloric acid and, you know, putrid lava and whatever was looked somewhat like you were drinking last night on the social medias, my friend. If people,
yes, thank you very much.
If it's quite all right. So Monte Resaca del Diablo, put it in, see where we go with that one. And if people want to find more information, there's a fascinating story as well about the depopulation of villages having lived in the campo for a while. You know, I know there's been a youth drain and a brain drain. Lots of great stuff. Where can people go to get more information, update information on what's going on with the situation in Spain at the moment, Simon?
Yeah, just head to our website. So look for El País English Edition. You'll find us on the El País website and also on Facebook and Twitter.
As always, Simon Hunter at El País in Madrid, thank you so much for your time today, mate.
Thank you. I got through it. I'm very pleased with myself. Thank you.